find Pasha's told us. Pasha's told us about Yaakov and Esau. We learned to meet up with Yaakov and Esau for the first time. As they're born, Pasha's told us. And we find a very interesting thing. But yeah, Yitzchok is Esav, Tzad Befiv, Rivko Yeheves is Yaakov. Yitzchok loves Esav, but yeah, Yitzchok is Esav, Rivko Yeheves is Yaakov. Rivka loves Yaakov. Very, very perplexing, very hard to understand this parasha. Exactly. Yitzchak Avinu loved Esav HaRasha. Zayit Befiv. Rashi says that he tricked him. But there are a lot of other Rashis that are mashma that Yaakov, Yitzchak knew who his son Esav really was. Later on, when he sends him out for the brachas, he says, "Prepare me a meal, my dear son. I would like you to prepare me a meal." And he says to spice it up. Go out, but Sugali Tzayit. Go out and take me, prepare me, go hunt a beautiful dish for me. He tells him, very be careful. Don't take from the Gezel. Don't take from Gezel. Talk to your son that you love, who tricked you, who you knew was a big tzaddik. Don't take from Gezel. Don't take from Gezel. He tells him, very careful, Shechti, well, you shouldn't give me an Avela. Shechti, well, you could say that. He was worried that Yaakov Esav would be so in the Beholah, so in a state of confusion or quickness to get the bronze, that he wouldn't do everything well and he'd take from Gezel. A little bit strange. He's Jeter. Secondly, we have to understand the Indian that Yitzchak wanted to give the brachas to Esav HaRasha. Besides the fact, okay, he loved him, and maybe thought it was the Bechor. Moses, whole Indian, that Yitzchak wanted to give the brachas, he was so dark about giving the brachas to Esav. What was the meaning of that? Right, we have to understand the whole parasha of Esav to understand exactly what was going on in Esav HaRasha's head. Esav comes back from the Soda. He's very weary, he's tired out, he's thirsty, he's hungry, he's famished, he spent the day in the fields, spent the day out in the town, having a good time, and he's famished, he's hungry. And he comes back in Yaakov Avinu, making a bowl of lentils, cooking a bowl of lentils. And Esav trades in his bechayra for a bowl of lentils. Very, very hard to understand the swap. And Esav understood what it was later on. And Esav predicament. He was hungry, but to give up his bechayra, for a bowl of lentils. What's the pshat in Esav? The Chazal say right after, Vayives Esav as a bechayra. Esav blasphemized. He was embarrassed. He ashamed the bechayra of that maisa. What does that mean? I have to emphasize that by even as easy as a bechoyer for its partial. We want to start, at least I, to answer these questions with a very big yisoid, a very, very chashuv to know that runs throughout the parshas of Parshas Bereishis and teaches us a very, very important lesson in Avodas Hashem and our Avodas Hashem. You have to realize, we mentioned a little bit in the shiur that we spoke, he's speaking in the morning, we find after the Akedah, Pasuk says, Hashem calls to Avram, Vayom Hashem al Avram, Avram, Vayom Hashem, Avram, Hashem al Avram, Avram, Avram. He calls a double Lashon Avram, Lashon Chiba, Atu Yodati Ki Re'e Lekim. Now I know you're a Re'e Lekim. What's the pshat? We have a mazbe this week, Hashem the Goyim. You saw that form over here, but it's very yisoidistic. And something that applies to each and every one of us in our lives. And those who came tonight have a gewaldic, understanding, hopefully, and some type of chizuk for the lifetime they avoided this world of myself. Because Baruch Hu says to Avraham, 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 after the Akedah, what's the point? What's the message? Farshim say that there's a picture of us, each and every one of us, who we can be in the next world, who we're supposed to be, or we're supposed to accomplish this world, or when we're born into this world, is a picture of us. There's a picture of us, of the exact shleimus, perfection of what we're supposed to get to, what we're supposed to accomplish. With our tafk, with our job in this world, everybody was created differently. We have different faces, we look differently. We have different types of personalities. We have different types of upbringings. All of us are different from one another. As the Rambam says, Kishem Shem Tafs with Faith, Shem Adoyim, it's just like our faces are not the same. No two people look the same. God, they always say it, so too how we understand things. So to our way of life, we're different and are intrinsically each and every one of us. And every single one of you out there, me, everyone in the world, from the biggest rabbi to the goyim, to everybody in this world, have a tafkid. We have a tafkid in this world. We have a purpose that we were created. Very simple reverse. It doesn't have to go, you have to go back. There's ABCs. A is the first letter of the alphabet, B is second, C is third. Let's continue to shmur. We'll learn all learn something today. I don't know. The ABCs, but I want to tell you something else reverse. It's very simple. We believe, I hope all of us believe in the Creator. Somebody created us. I hope we believe that. We were created by a boy. Everything in the world that's created, and everything that we see around is called a nivra, a creation. It came from a creator. It's copied of us. Really, who made it? I'll tell you in a second. Shammai Yevo, whatever, maybe just somebody made this cup of us. Maybe they have machines, but someone made the machine to make the cup. Somebody. Craftsman, you see this chair I have over here? Someone made it, this chair. Anybody see this chair? Someone made it. See this frock? Everybody see the frock? Two sides. air conditioning. Anybody see it? Someone made it. Taylor made it. That's why it's called Taylor Made. What did the tailor make it for? What was he doing? He stopped one day, woke up, said, I have a good idea. I'm just going to make a frock. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. You know, I don't know what I'm going to do with it. You know, hang it in my bathtub. When I went this way, when I want to take a shower, in case I want to see something, I just open the back. Obviously, when he made a frock, Taylor had a purpose in making the frock. We say, what was his purpose? He wanted one, this is a suit that someone should wear. Everything that we have, every part of a glass, we make glasses for a reason. Everything in the school is created, you understand very simply that it had a purpose, or else someone doesn't create it. It's very simple alphabet. So now let's go to the highest creation in the world, Rabbi, the human being. A human being, what was he created for, Rabbi? Let's have a multiple choice questionnaire now. What was a human being created for? A, multiple choice. Mifchan Amerikai. Multiple choice questions. Why was a human being created? Jewish human being. A, eat sunflower seeds. Maybe, never know. Maybe someone's been served for A. B, to sleep. And sleep. A lot of guys in circle B. C, what was we created for? I was created to talk. To schmooze at night till 4 in the morning, that's what I was created for. Someone has to keep everybody else up here at night. That's my creation. D, there's a deeper creation. I was created to do something, accomplish something in my life, in this world. To be a somebody. To be an accomplishment. To do something with my life. If God created, if we believe in the most basic thing that we're a creation, and who's our creator? Obviously, there's a purpose to our creation. That's what the Torah is all about, Rabbi. The Torah is the book that gives direction to find ourselves. But everybody's created for a purpose. Now, so we say, very good, Rabbi. You narrowed it down. No sesame seeds. I'm not a sesame seeds person. I'm not supposed to sleep. I want to sleep. Probably do sleep, but that, I don't think that's my tafkid. You know, there are bears for that. Grizzly bears, they sleep the whole winter. Came out with a new thing. Everybody said, we're thinking of making, anybody interested could sign up. And they found a new booth, but we outside. We decided this room, everybody asked what this room's for. I decided, came out with a great idea. It's going to be the hibernation room. Bachem who want to sleep the whole winter, we're going to put this thing, they're going to climb you up there and lock you in. And you wake up right after Purim, everybody said. Rub your eyes a little bit of the long sleep, and you'll growl like a bear, and you'll go home, and you'll be able to sleep the whole time. That's what I'll do. The hibernation room. We call it Bears In, for short. But and those who don't want to be bears, want to be humans, they get up and they function and they accomplish every day. But what do they want to accomplish? So the Torah says we have to accomplish Torah mitzvahs. But more than that, Rabbi, that's about the direction, but every single one of us has a very specific function in this world. Besides, we have to keep turning mitzvahs in it. We have a specific function, what we're supposed to be, Rabbi said, and only us, and only we can accomplish that. And this is the beauty of the Bria, the Chodesh Alon says, that there's so many different types of creations, and each one at the end, is going to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his nisyonos, with his difficulties, with his, the way he was brought up, the way he was involved, what he was involved with, all the different things that went into who he is now, and he goes and he serves Hashem through that. Whether he's going to be, whatever he's going to do with his life, he's going to serve Hashem, he's now fulfilled his tafkid achai. And for that he's a gadol. For that he's a God, for that he's the greatest of humans, because no one else in the prayer was, this is so important to us, for everybody to know, this gives the greatest comfort. I have no self-confidence, Rabbi. I have low self-confidence. LSE. I have low self-confidence. And that's why
LS, something else. So I have LSE. Well, I have low self-confidence. I'm not good at this. You're good at something. You have a purpose. When you find that purpose, you find your tafkid. You know that you have a tafkid. In that tafkid, there's no one going to be like you. No one in the world. You have to realize that you're different. You have your own. Each one is different. Everybody has their own makeup. Everybody has their own tafkid. But the Kodesh Baruch Hu puts us in this world, he puts us in, like I said, with some certain characteristic traits. And what he does is, every single one of us is in a battlefield, we're in a battlefield called, I think, called Nisyonis, tests. I know we don't like tests, but according to Rebbe Zvi the Young guys, life is a test. Finish your book, you can find out. But besides Rebbe Zvi the Young guys, that's what life is. It's a Shalom life. This world is full of tests. Hashem tests us in this world. What is he testing us? He's testing us to bring out who we really are, and our koichos, our potential. When a guy gets tested, Rabbi Yisrael, a lot of times it's a very, very pashtunayit, intellectual thing that your person doesn't really know if he can really pass the test. Does he really know the knowledge? Is he knowledgeable or not? When he goes through the test and he comes to fruition, that he passed, he does well, he knows. It's a proof that he knows the material well. Any test in life that Hakadosh Baruch Hu sends away is there for a purpose to bring out who we are. Now, how does Hakadosh Baruch Hu test us? Yisoy Godol of Yisoydas and Yisoydas. Hashem tests us in many ways, but the Ikka test is where it's very, very hard. Hardest of tests, when you succeed in the hardest of tests, who doesn't? But the test was easy, very big marshal. Guy goes with the test, and he has a very, very simple road test. Now, if you're not different color, you know, usually you pass it the first time. But some people, you know, they oh man, I went to talk into it. A guy walked down, oh man, it's the eighth time I failed, you know. I couldn't get that stop sign, I couldn't meant go. Couldn't get that stop sign right. You know, so many people that, you know, they go in and they take that written test for the driver's test, and it was the 87th time. They might not let him back in because the time he passed it, he'd be overage for driving. But anyway, the Mesa, the guy, you know, it's a simple test. You walk out, it's a breeze, you don't feel good. You go in there, it's a hard trigonometry test. You studied well, you prepared well for it. Boom! Go in, you take the test, struggling hours, you come out of the test room, look at the smile. Ah, that's so geschmack. I think I got the 90s, the 100, I knew everything. I was hard, I figured out the equations, everything. But I studied hard, I was up nights. I was taking Ritalin and all these type of things keeping me up. And service was over, that's it, Baruch Hashem, I passed, I got it, I did well. Guy feels like a man, let's go party. Let's party. Let's go party. We did well in the test. When it's hard and it's difficult, and it's so difficult, the test that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives, you know that over there, there's your path. There's your path. When you have to break yourself for it, when you have to overcome a struggle, when it has to be so difficult. Let's look at Avraham Avinu, Rabbi Sai. Avraham Avinu, the epitome of chesed, kindness. That was Avraham's midah. He was so kind to the world. He opened up an inn. He opened up a place anywhere in Israel. He opened up. Anybody wants to call, you call Abraham. And you're there for Shabbos, no problem. Call Friday afternoon, you go in. The tents open on four sides. He's out there doing chesed with everybody. He's the biggest Baal Chesed. He loves to give to people. He loves to be... Hashem says, Kachnos Bincho, Zichitcho, take your son and slaughter him. The epitome of chesed, the epitome of giving, the epitome of caring, take my son and slaughter him. Avram goes, and he kind of test of his son. Hashem says, now I know. Now I know, now I've proved to the world that you're the true shleimus, the true complete person. Because you were the biggest giver, the biggest carer, the biggest one who wants to give, who loves. And you were able to be even cruel, to go the opposite extreme. You can imagine the test of our problem. But the success brought out that Avram is the greatest. Because he can go against his nature of giving. His difficulty, the nature to give. And the goal he's ready to take away. He's ready to slaughter his son. He's ready to do an act of cruelty. Yaakov Avinu Rabbi Yisai also had a test against his nature. In this week's parasha, Chazal tell us of Yaakov Avinu was the one who was Ish Tom Yeshiva. Yaakov Avinu was the man of truth. Midas Yaakov is Emes. He's the man of truth. Everything about him, every bone in his body. In this week's parasha, Chazal tell us that when Yaakov Avinu was going in to get the brachas and he had to put on those skins on his arms, and he went in like Esav, and his father said, Kol Yaakov, he had to go in to his father in a deceitful way. You know what Chazal tell us? That he didn't want to change his voice because he was scared to change his voice. You know what was going on? He was making in his pants. Until he had a nevuah from his mother, you have to go in. But says the Chazal, says the Maritzchias, in Makkos, Dav Chof Galil Amid Aleph, the Pasuk says, Ulai, Yimusheni Ovi. Ulai says, it means that it's maybe, but you want it to happen, the Goyin says. Like by Eliezer, Ulai. And you wanted that, but Ulai, she won't want to go. Why she won't want to go? He has a daughter. Ulai, you're shaming Avi. I want my father to check me out, feel me, and find out the truth that I'm not Esau. He was the epitome. And his whole life, he was tested. In what area? That he had to be a little bit around the truth. But Destel said that really that is the truth, because it's the Emmet. But his whole life, he was tested on trying to be sly. He had to use his meat, even though he's so truthful. He's born Ish Tom, a straightforward Erlich Yid. Yaakov Avinu was born, and his whole life he was tested. Go in there and act like Esau. Who's telling me to do that? Mom, is it just you? No, it's Nevuah from Hashem Yisborah. Go in there and be a liar. I'm Yaakov Avinu. Mitvah Sheker Tirchok, Mom. It says in the Torah. You're telling me to go in and yes, because that's what Kodesh Baruch Hu wants, and that's the MS, but that's what Kodesh Baruch Hu wants right now. Whatever it is, why it is that there is a different shmooz, like you have to go against your midah. That's how Yaakov Avinu became Jay Yaakov Avinu. Yitzchok Avinu Rabbeisai. Where's his test? This is Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky Shtickle, and he asked his kasha, where's Yitzchok Avinu's test? Avram was tested, he was Midas HaChesed, he was tested with cruelty. Yaakov Avinu was Midas HaEmes, he's tested with truth. What's he missing? It's a big test. So he has a different pshat. I wanted to offer my own pshat. You know where Yitzchok tested was with Midas HaEmes? What's Yitzchok's Midas HaEmes? Yitzchok's Midas Midas HaDin. Yitzchok is Midas HaVoyd and Midas HaDin. Midas HaDin means you don't bend the way it's supposed to be. Din means there's no racham, there's no mercy. We go with what the halacha says, we go where it's supposed to be, there's no room for mercy. Who does he have, Rabbi Yisrael? Because Baruch Hu benches him with two sons. One son is Taki Yosheva Olin, he runs the base measure, and he sent him. But he has a son called Esav. Esav? Esav is a son, the Rachmal of the Star of Bessai. He's thrown out of every yeshiva. And it wasn't first time in those times to take him in. He's thrown out of every yeshiva. He can't fit into any yeshiva. He's always jumping on, up and down, Rabbi Yisrael. Every time he goes in, he's out. He's in. Every time looking for Esav, where is he? He went to Tel Aviv to the beach for the day. Sounds familiar? But anyway, where's Esav? His father said, yeah. He hangs out, comes to the Beis Medrash. The Shiva knows if he did. He comes to the Beis Medrash. Is he in the Beis Medrash? Yeah, he comes. And he was talking to his father with big shilas. How do you mice the salt? And yet Esav is never in the Beis Medrash. He's always out, because I'll say he's out there capturing things. He's capturing things. And some guys here at night, they go capture things. There's different ways of capturing. And Ramaisa, that's the job of a melech. A melech, kings, is to capture, lands. Kings, capture land. So we do kings and we capture it. But anyway, so he was out there capturing things in Koivich. He was never in the Beis Medrash. So he tried, to his father. So according to Rashi, I found Arachayim Mefurish on my side. The Arachayim Mefurish says that Yaakov Yitzchak Avinu knew exactly where Yisav was. He was a Russian. He knew he was a Russian. That's why he told him, make sure don't steal. You go out and bring me that food for the brachas. Make sure to shecht it. Don't bring me some nevela. He knew who Esav was. He knew he was a Russian. Why did he want to bench him? He wanted to tell him this was Yitzchak's Messiah. This was Yitzchak's test. You need a Sadin. You know only straightforward. You went to the Akedah. Whatever Hashem says, that's what you do. There's no mokum for Rafa in it. And here he was tested that he had to be machmorah to Makarev to go ahead and draw close his son who wasn't doing the right thing so much. Yitzchak Avinu is the need of perfection. There's no one greater. At a young age, he was did the Akedah. His need is perfection. There's no mokum for slacking off. There's no mokum for not doing the right thing. Din! And as a son of Esav, Dr. Archaim HaKadosh, you know why he loved him? This was the first Kirov. That was Kirov. Before Avram did Kirov Rechoykin, Yitzchak did Kirov Kroichin. He had a son who was the first guy to go off the Derech. The first one who went off the Derech was Esav. And Yitzchak was, we would say, you know what Yitzchak should do such a kid? Throw him out of the house. Get rid of such a kid. He's in the house with Yaakov Avinu. Throw him out. Put him on the street. Never comes home on time. He's always out late drinking. Likes grass in the fields. I don't know what he's doing with it. He's come back late at night. There's rumors he's hanging out with people from the seminar. He's hanging out with people that don't wear yarmulkes. So it's not, they're not off the derech, they just don't wear yarmulkes. And he's mamish busy. He's busy, he's going here, he's going there. He's missing curfew every night. Mamish curfew. Goes to town, does his thing, comes back late and he says, Ta, I was just, I was busy. I was doing Kirov. I also do Kirov. I didn't do Kirov, for the Bay Yerushalayim. Not the Bay Zion, I do the, it's also Kirov. Yeah, but you're getting too close. Is that Kirov? But anyway, he's involved in Kirov also, he tells his father. And his father should take him and throw him in. Letter of the law, chuck him out. Throw him out of the yeshiva, throw him out of the house. Put him on the streets. Let him fall out in our place. Or some other place. Let him find some yeshiva that deals with these guys. Send him to a rehabilitation place. Send him for help. takes him in his arms and he's in the corner of his son. And he wants to give him the brachas because he wants to try to show his son, you're going to be the one to go out in the world and try to support your brother, hey, Yaakov Avinu. Brothers will be good for you. Come close to Hashem. I know you have this inclination to going out, to being in the wild, to being out there. That's your tafkid, but you could channel it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Yitzchak's Nisoyen was, his goof Nisoyen was the Makarides. So you'll tell me, okay, didn't help. Didn't help. Esav, the Lord says in the Gilad of you, who Esav, he was Esav from the beginning to the end. He never did true to himself. Esav never did true to himself. So all this Nisoyen to Yaakov Avinu, Esav Avinu, was for naught. Nothing came out of it. No, listen carefully. Chazal tells in next week's parasha. Next week's parasha, Yaakov runs away. He runs away because Esav's after him, and he runs away to get a wife. And he comes to the well, and he meets up with his wife Rachel Boisai, and have everybody's attention. And he starts crying. He meets up with his wife the first time, he starts crying. Why is he crying? Why is he crying? Because he has no money. He has no money to take her away. He can't even buy her a Coke on the date. He goes on a date with Rachel. They go to the Ramada. Coke, please. What would you have? Water. Of course, every girl gets water on a date. And the waiter comes for the check, and Yaakov went out to the bathroom for a few minutes. He hasn't come back, and she's Rachel sitting there. What should I do? They wait, he pays the bill. All of a sudden, he walks out. He had no money on him. His man has no money on him. What happened? So Chazal, Esav sent somebody, an assassin, to get Yaakov Avinu. Who was he? Eliphaz, Ben Esav, his son, sent him to kill Yaakov Avinu. He had knives on him, machine guns. He had Mamish tank missiles. He's kind of a Mamish. He looked there. He came in. He looked like from the scene of some movie. Oh, you don't know what that is, you know. Goes on in other yeshivas later. Not here, but Hashem. But anyway, so he's walking around with the, you know, with all the equipment and all the stuff ready to kill his uncle. His job was to be the assassin of his uncle. And he's sitting there looking through the, what's that thing on top of the gun? He's waiting for Yaakov Avinu. What is that thing called?
Scope?
Yeah. No, the scope, very good. He's looking through the scope. He has Yaakov Avinu. He's about to press the trigger. Mamish, he has him in the thing. Mamish about to press the trigger. He's holding it. He's about to, he's holding back. He can't do it. He can't press the trigger. Why not? Says Chazal, unbelievable Zach. Because Eliphaz grew up in the bosom. He grew up by his grandfather. His house, by Yitzchak, I'm sorry, grew up by Yitzchak, was his grandfather in the house. He couldn't kill Yaakov Avinu. Did it help? Of course it helped. Because if Esav would have been thrown out of the house with Bosai, Eliphaz would have never been around. Eliphaz would have never been around the house. He never would have come visit Grandpa. Grandpa. There'd be no visits to Grandpa anymore. But Esav loved his father. And he brought his grandchildren! Eliphaz used to come home! He came for Halloween! Grandpa! Trick or treat! But he came to his grandfather's house, so his grandfather brought him in. Take a kippah, make a bracha, then you'll get your trick or treat. But he came to his grandfather's house, and his grandfather said, Esav, my dear son, leave Eliphaz by me for a few minutes. And his grandfather would talk to him about stories of tzaddikim. Come on, Grandpa, I gotta get home. I gotta watch the new movie. It just came out. All the bachelors are going. How's Rashid go somewhere? All the brachim are going. And there, Yitzchak sitting with his grandson Alifaz, and they're talking, telling about stories about his great grandfather. And it helped. Looking through the scope, Alifaz thinking about his grandfather. Oh, how much would this pain my grandfather Yitzchak? I can't press that button. Comes out, did it help? Did it help? Of course it helped. Saved Jacob, he was alive. That was Yitzchak's design. And Esau didn't realize that his nisoyim was that he was born tackle with a shverkat. And today, Tom, they would say he had HDHD. Or one of those things, A, B, C, D. They have to give it a name. So everything has a name. HDTV. Right. Everybody has, everything has a name today. He goes OCD. I mean, this guy has OCD. It's ABC. XYZ. This guy has. But anyway, the kid says, Sefer Shel Dover is that Esav also was born with a certain topic. And this was the topic Yitzchak was trying to teach him. You can be out in the fields. You can be out working. You can be a plumber. Your task is to be out there in the world. That's why I'm giving you the brachas of all the Kashmirs. Because I want you to be wealthy, Asa. I want you to be a billionaire. I want you to build Yaakov the biggest yeshiva in the world. I want you to take care of Yaakov. But that was Asa's desire. But Asa couldn't handle his desire. Asa was not able to handle it. And he came back from the field. And this was the moment of truth. He sold his bechoyre, he sold the whole avoida. The avoid of the Kihanim, the Beis Hamikdash, is with animals. It's with Olam Hazeh. But it's making, taking Olam Hazeh, making it subservient to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He gave it off because he wanted Olam Hazeh to be an end in itself, not a means to an end. Yitzchak was trying to teach Esav. Esav, you have that liking. And people make that mistake. Sometimes a person has. He's drawn to be outside in the wild. He's drawn to be outside. He likes to do things with his hands. He likes to do things. Create things. He's good with music. Kozmo benched him with that thing that he should use in the toy. He should use it for the kumzitzin, the samer bnei adam. But use it as a means to bring people closer. Use it for an end in itself, then music becomes the end, that you worship music. That's not why I gave you those hands to play music. If you use your voice to mesamech people, to be kind of them, to give them a geshmak and tzvila, because Bo gave you that voice. But if the voice is the end in itself to make money with it, if the voice is the end in itself just to be balgaiva, and walk around and say, oh, the biggest chazan in the world, wow, everybody be Korea Mishtah on your autograph. If that's the Tafkin, that's what HaKadosh Baruch gave. HaKadosh Baruch blessed us with gifts. HaKadosh Baruch gave Esav an unbelievable head. And his body was out. They want to get out in the field. What was that for? You know what that was for? He was supposed to be the genius businessman. He was supposed to use everything. He was supposed to be the one who was going to build the Gansa Lakewood. He was going to build the biggest Lakewood yeshiva. He had a son for his brother was the yeshiva. He was going to build the builder, the planning, the getting the money together, making the money, creating the yeshivas. But he gave it all up because he made Olam Hazeh an end in itself. And that was represented so deeply by selling the whole thing for a bowl of soup. For that taiva that you had at that moment, and not overcoming that taiva, and using everything of Gashmias for Gashmias itself. But the lesson we want to take out of the verse for all of us of that, an unbelievable lesson. Number one, we all have a purpose. We all have gifts that we have to look deep in to find them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave each and every one of us matonis, characteristics, midos, liking to some different thing, Rabbi Zayin. And they're embedded and ingrained in us for a reason, because we are a creation that has a purpose. Different from the guy in my room, different from the guy under me, different from the guy across the hall. Totally different. And my job is to go through this world and accomplish that thing. And I'm going to be tested to bring out my koyaches. And those tests are going to be very difficult tests. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu knows that I have the koyach, I have the potential, and I have the strength to overcome those nishyonos. And those nishyonos are going to be in the areas that are most difficult to me. And that way I'll understand that this is what my test, that this is who I am, and that's my midah, and this is what I have to accomplish. Therefore, in conclusion, we all have to realize life is not going to be silly putty. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be a one-time thing. It's going to be tests. And we have difficulties. We have nisyonos. We're going to have taivus. We're going to have to say and realize that Kodesh Baruch Hu is testing me, and this is my opportunity. This is my opportunity to overcome and become the great one. To become the real person that I was destined. That my path to destiny is through that difficult test. Through the test that goes kilu against my nature. Through the opposite. And there, I'm going to be successful. And there, I'm going to become the true great person that I was destined. But if we remain chicken of ourselves, or better mice of ourselves, we don't stand up and become men. A lot of guys of ourselves, and I hate to say in Shishiva, have a problem that they are mouse. I think I'm talking to the cook that I'm going to serve more cheese here. We have a lot of mice over here. When it comes to testing, when it comes to difficulties, we fall, we just go back under the covers and say, I'd rather be under the covers. I'd rather avoid it, the issue. I'd rather avoid the test. You can avoid it. You can run away from it. You could sleep the whole year or say. You cannot come and not do what you were supposed to do. But you'll never, ever be the man that you're really supposed to be. You'll never become the person. So many guys saying, Rebbe, great clothes, but it's hard. Four-letter word, what's that? That guy's moving hard. It's hard. H-A-R-D. Life is hard. Yes, it is. It's hard. Difficult. You know why it's hard, Doc? It's hard because when we overcome it, when we get there, and we look back, the pleasure is enormous, is immense. The pleasure is something that's unbelievable. If you go and you say no to the things that are tempting you to do, and you have a big time to do them, your nature is to give in. My nature is to be lazy. Another four-letter word. My nature is not to work hard. My nature is not to make an effort. If you do that, Rabbi Zayin, you might have an easy life, but you won't have a satisfied life. You won't have a satisfied life, Rabbi Zayin. I'm telling you right now, the life will never be happy. The life will never feel fulfilled because you were created for a purpose. And that test, and those difficulties, and the tremendous nishyonos that we have If I just cripple, if I just cover up, if I fold up and go to sleep over them, I'm always going to remain. I'm always going to remain an unhappy person. The only way to achieve happiness, satisfaction, feeling good, is when I overcome my tests. And the more difficult it is, come on, come on. Don't listen to that rabbi. He's brainwashing you. I don't brainwash you with all those pictures I show you of town. That's not brainwashing. That's just showing you the true reality. That's what's going on in town. That rabbi, he's brainwashing you. Who's brainwashing us? Who's brainwashing us? We've been brainwashed all lives to see the wrong. And when he comes over and says, just come with me. You'll have the, you'll be in total ecstasy. Just come with me for some ecstasy. Don't ask questions. I have the place to show you. You haven't seen anything yet. And you think for a second, is this really going to be good for me? This guy's track record. Every time I go to afterwards, I kind of in depression for 2 weeks. I can't go to learn. I can't go to Goblin. My whole, is it really good for me? It might be fun. It might be for now. But I'm always upset afterwards I did it. And you think to yourself and you say, here's a test. It's a test now. I want to sit up and speak about peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Something very important. I have to talk about bobby pins. The whole night, you can put it in the front and clip it. You don't clip it, you put it on the side. You don't have so much hair because you've got a special haircut. What do? Use a thumbtack! Crazy glue! For the minus zero haircuts, 44 hours talking about raisins, how chewy they are. We're talking about biscuits, special biscuits that just came out. They're on the list in England. You can eat them. And have you ever tasted those biscuits, the texture of those biscuits? Ding dong, 3 a.m, he's still holding by the biscuits. Let's move over to Crush orange drink. I think it's also on the list. Even if it's not, we'll say it's on the list. That's 44 hours talking about wasting time. And you know, every time this guy comes over to talk to you, all you're going to talk about is bologna and salami. And maybe some pastrami also thrown in. With mustard. Gulden's mustard. And you're just going to waste your whole night. And you'll be like a zombie in the morning. And again, you fall into trap. But if you think for a second, say, no, there's a test. I know, I want a shmooze. Shmooze is a schmack. At the end of the day, you spoke for 3 hours. What did you talk about? What did you gain from it? What do you have more knowledge about? So at least you talk about something intellectual. No intellectual talk whatsoever. Nothing. Talking about mamish for hours. Or the guy says, we're going to that place. And you think, it's not good for me. And you say, no. You say, what was that, Shmooze? What did you say? I said, no! What was that? You said, no? Are you serious? Something's happening to you! You go to that Thursday night schmooze! Get out of there! That rabbi's crazy! Come with me to town! I'll show you how to be crazy! I said, no. I want to become the person I wanted to become. I want to accomplish my goals I came to the Eretz Yisrael for. I want to be somebody with myself. And you push it aside. You move on. You walk away feeling a little dejected. The next day you feel like $1 million. I was able to say no. I was able not to succumb to this Nisoyan. I was able to pass the test. I was able to head in the direction of becoming who I could truly become. years from now. Let's go to the videotape 20 years from now. You said no enough times. You got yourself on the right path. You're sitting around that guy who's telling you, trying to show you what reality is, what's he doing today? What's his life? He looks back on his life. He starts to regret his life. His family life messed up. He can never control himself. So he's married. He's going on his 8th marriage. He's married Hispanic. Yeah. He's tried every other nation. He's trying Hispanic. Now. It's one more step before.
Spencer! Big Black Samantha! Coming down! She's in the gayest process! If this doesn't work out, we'll go for Samantha! She's a little bigger than me, but Baruch Hashem, she knows how to make banana stew.
His life's in a mess. He can't control himself. Every time he's married, he's with somebody else. He's a gambler. Come on, just come out. We'll go do some AC action. We'll head out to LV for a little vacation in LV. He's a gambler. His life's in shambles. He never stood the test. He's crying deep inside his heart. And there you are, a beautiful family. Beautiful mishpacha. You found your tafki. You're doing the right thing. You trained yourself. You look to each other. You meet up at some restaurant. There he is, your good old friend, speaking Spanish with his new wife. Como se llama? He just learned Spanish. He had to learn it quick. The wedding had to be very quick. Two of our brothers tried to kidnap him in Mexico. He's sitting at the table talking to his wife, a beautiful conversation, how Yanko is going to Cheder. And he's talking in Spanish, how they're trying to send their kids to PS-171! There's not too many muggings over there. We'll try to keep them over there. But don't worry. My last wife knew self-defense. Nice. So I could train my son to defend himself. Especially if he's Puerto Rican blood. He's good with knives. Who won, Rabbi said? Who became? It's difficult now. This test is unbelievable difficult, Rabbi said. Avram going to the arcade, if you imagine this, son. But today we all eat for it. We all eat for Avram's accomplishment. And Yitzchok and Yankov, the others. They've ingrained within each and every of us that we all can accomplish, we can all overcome, we can defeat those struggles, those yaters, those divers. We can pass them. It takes a lot of deep depth, a lot of depth, a lot of power and strength. But they'll never be. Once heard a pshat, the difference between a man and an animal is the power to say no. The power to say no. The power to overcome. The power to be the man. Not the mouse, but the man that you created to be. The power to be the Jew. Choshev Yid, that every one of us was born into that nation, a different show. We're going to all be tested. Some of us are going to make it, and some of us are going to sell out for a bowl of lentils. A small bowl of lentils that looks appetizing. And sell out for those that will. Take the chizik of this parasha, Esav HaRasha never did tshuva. Sold out all of his koichas. His head is in Moshe Machpela to everybody. So you go to Moshe Machpela, you'll see his head there. Why is his head there? In head, he could have been the greatest of great. The potential was there. He never brought it down to control his heart. His body is not there. His head made it in because his head was created to be the greatest of greats. He couldn't control himself. He couldn't bring it down to the heart. He could overcome the struggles of himself. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were running to their kever today. We're running to Baras Machpela. We're eating off them, Rabbi Yisrael. You and your future generations will eat off your success. Everything's dependent upon you. Everything's in your hand. It's your responsibility to become who you're supposed to be. Listen. Listen carefully. Take heart to what I'm saying. You'll be tested, but Hashem will overcome it. Dig deep into the DNA that you have around it. It's the Yankov. You'll be successful overcoming the soreness. Become the true Eved Hashem we could be. To the nachas of your parents, to the nachas of Kodesh Baruch Hu, and even more so to the nachas of yourselves. What a happy, satisfied, satiated, or kishmak a person would be. Let's stand with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Hu, help us. The strength will be there. Help us to overcome. Give us the strength. Let the Shem, we overcome those shyness. We'll look down on mercy. Look at my children. Look at my iPods. Look at the iPods and the iPads. And this and that and that. And they're saying no. We'll look down on mercy on us. You're saying no to those tigers. I'll protect my people. They'll defeat their enemies. Each individual defeats his enemy. His own enemy will defeat their real enemies. Hashem will bring it down. Mashiach, Sikhenu, and then it's going to be like this. Hey.